All right, let's dive into this report on AI's impact. It's pretty fascinating stuff. It lays out this whole framework of access, autonomy, and answers.
The three A's, right?
Yeah, exactly. The three A's, as AI expert John Rechter calls them. He argues these are like the pillars of how AI is reshaping our world. It's like getting a sneak peek into the future. And not just in one industry, but across the board.
Yeah, it's interesting how Rechter goes beyond just the technology itself. He's looking at the impact, the big picture, like how AI is changing not only what we can do, but who can do it, and even how we interact with information itself.
Okay, so let's break this down. Access seems pretty straightforward at first glance. AI breaking down barriers, giving more people access to things like resources and opportunities.
But it goes deeper than that, right? Think of it this way. It's not just about giving everyone a hammer. It's about giving them the tools, the knowledge, the support they need to actually build something amazing with that hammer, no matter what their background is.
So it's not just AI doing things for us, but about AI empowering people to do more themselves.
Exactly. And the report really highlights that. It talks about AI giving billions of people access to things like education, healthcare, economic opportunities, things that were once out of reach for so many people. It's potentially a massive societal shift.
Yeah, that's huge. The report even gives the example of AI-powered mental health counseling being available in tons of different languages, reaching people who might never have had access to that kind of support before.
Right. That's a real game changer. And then there's autonomy, which is where things get a little more, I don't know, sci-fi, AI systems that can act independently, make decisions on their own.
Yeah, that's the one where I immediately picture, like, robot armies from the movies.
Right. But the report takes a more nuanced view. It's not about robots taking over. It's about AI handling those tasks that are better suited for machines, which then frees up humans to focus on the things AI can't do. Creativity, complex problem solving, you know, those uniquely human skills.
So it's not about replacement, but about changing the nature of work itself.
Exactly. It's about collaboration. Think of AI handling logistics, maybe even some medical triage, while humans focus on the big picture strategy or patient interaction.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's like each side doing what they're best at.
Right. And then we have answers. This one seems like it was the initial hype around AI, you know, the idea that it could answer any question we had.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And to be fair, AI is radically changing how we access and interact with information. I mean, we can get answers to almost anything instantly now, whether it's through a search engine, a voice assistant, or even one of those increasingly sophisticated chatbots.
Right. But what's interesting is how Rechter highlights access as the truly defining pillar of the three A's. He argues that autonomy and answers are important, but they only reach their full potential when they're built on a foundation of widespread access.
So it's like having all the answers in the world doesn't really matter if only a select few can get to them or understand them.
Exactly. It's about democratizing that knowledge and making those tools available to everyone.
Okay, I'm starting to see how these pieces fit together. Now, how does all this play out in specific industries? The report starts with education, which seems like a perfect example of all three A's coming together.
Absolutely. When you think about AI in education, what comes to mind?
I think about those personalized learning platforms. You know, the ones that tailor the learning experience to each student's individual needs and abilities.
That's already happening. Take Khan Academy's Khanmigo, for example. It's built on GPT-4, and it actually guides students through problems by asking questions and giving hints rather than just giving them the answer.
That's so much more helpful than just having a robot tutor tell you what to do, right? It's like having a learning partner who actually helps you figure things out for yourself.
Exactly. Then you've got things like Georgia Tech's Jill Watson. It's an AI teaching assistant that answers student questions in online forums, taking care of all those repetitive tasks so the human instructors can focus on more complex interactions with the students.
That would free up so much time for teachers, allowing them to really focus on the parts of teaching that require a human touch.
Right. And the report highlights how this is impacting access to education on a global scale. Imagine a kid in a rural village learning from the same curriculum as students in top open schools, all with the help of an AI tutor that speaks their native language.
Wow, that's the kind of equal access to education that could really change someone's life.
It really could, and we're not just talking about a futuristic concept here. It's already happening. Platforms like Squirrel AI Learning in China have created these AI-driven learning paths that are personalized for each student based on their strengths and weaknesses.
So it's not just theory, it's being put into practice. That's pretty exciting.
And it goes beyond personalized learning, too. Purdue University has a system called Signals that uses AI to analyze student data and identify those who might be at risk of failing.
So it's like an early warning system.
Exactly. It allows for early interventions, which means students can get the support they need before it's too late. It's AI supporting both students and teachers, making the whole educational system more effective.
That's pretty amazing. Now, what about healthcare? I know AI is making waves there too.
It is. And while we could talk about robot surgeons all day, the report really focuses on how AI is expanding access to healthcare in even more fundamental ways.
Okay, so beyond the robots then, what are we talking about?
Think telemedicine platforms and smartphone apps that enable diagnosis and monitoring for people in remote locations, places where access to healthcare is limited.
So like someone in a village being able to get a diagnosis from a doctor miles away just by using their phone.
Exactly. Or think about AI-powered devices that can analyze medical images, like a retinal scan taken with a phone camera, to detect early signs of diabetes. It's bringing healthcare to people who might not have had access before.
Wow, that's incredible. And it's not just about access, right? AI is also automating a lot of tasks in healthcare, which frees up human healthcare professionals to focus on the things that require their expertise.
You're right. Things like analyzing lab results, assistance with surgeries, even helping doctors stay up to date on the latest medical research. It's about making the whole healthcare system more efficient and effective.
And then there's the whole idea of AI being used to answer medical questions, both for doctors and for patients.
Right. Imagine a doctor being able to instantly access the latest research on a rare disease, or a patient getting reliable information about their symptoms without having to wade through pages of unreliable websites. It's putting knowledge at everyone's fingertips.
That's powerful. But I can also imagine there are some concerns about relying too much on AI in such a sensitive field. Like, what if the AI makes a mistake?
Absolutely, and those are definitely things we need to discuss. But for now, maybe we can shift gears and look at how AI is impacting the world of the business and finance.
Okay, because it's not just about robots taking over Wall Street, right?
Haha, no, not quite. Although algorithmic trading is definitely a big part of it. But the report highlights how AI is actually leveling the playing field in the business world, making those powerful tools and analytics accessible to everyone, not just the big corporations.
So a small business owner could use AI to analyze their sales data, optimize their marketing, even personalize their customer service, all things that used to be out of reach for them.
Exactly. And it's not just about giving smaller businesses the same tools as the big guys. It's also about things like AI-powered fraud detection systems, which make financial transactions more secure for everyone.
Okay, that makes sense. But what about AI actually making decisions in finance? That seems like it could be riskful.
It can be, and we'll definitely get into those potential risks later. But for now, let's focus on how AI is also providing valuable answers in this sector. Think about a financial analyst being able to get instant insights from a company's earnings report, or a business owner using AI to simulate different scenarios before making a major investment.
So it's not just about crunching numbers, it's about gaining a deeper understanding of what those numbers mean and using that information to make smarter decisions.
Precisely. And speaking of data-driven insights, let's move on to the world of manufacturing.
Oh, manufacturing. That's the one where I always picture robots on assembly lines, replacing human jobs.
That's definitely part of it. But the report actually argues that AI is democratizing access to advanced manufacturing knowledge and techniques. Things that were once only available to huge companies are now accessible to smaller manufacturers, thanks to AI.
So a small company could use AI-powered design tools or even cloud robotics platforms to build their products.
Exactly. It's breaking down those barriers to entry and allowing for a whole new wave of innovation in manufacturing. And then there's the rise of what they call lights-out manufacturing facilities, where production runs almost entirely autonomously with minimal human intervention.
Wait, so the factory's running 247 with no humans. That sounds kind of unsettling.
I know. It definitely raises questions about the future of work, which we'll address later. But for now, let's focus on how AI is providing answers in this sector as well.
Okay, so beyond just building things, AI is also helping manufacturers make smarter decisions about their operations.
Absolutely. Think about an AI system that can predict when a machine is going to fail and schedule maintenance before anything actually breaks down, preventing costly downtime. Or AI being used to optimize supply chains, ensuring that materials arrive at the right place at the right time. It's about bringing a whole new level of efficiency and predictability to the manufacturing process.
So AI is not just making faster and cheaper, it's making the whole system smarter.
It is, and it's not just about manufacturing. Either AI is impacting every industry in some way.
Okay, so we've covered education, healthcare, business, and manufacturing. It seems like AI is pretty much everywhere.
You're right. And while the report does go into a few other sectors, maybe we should shift gears for a moment and talk about how this 3A's framework compares to some of the other ways people are thinking about AI.
Yeah, that makes sense because I've heard about things like the assisted augmented autonomous model, which I think focuses more on the stages of AI capability.
Exactly. That model is all about understanding how AI systems are evolving in terms of their relationship with human operators, from simple assistance to full autonomy. And then you've got all those ethical frameworks out there that emphasize responsible AI development.
So it's like different lenses to view AI through. Rector's 3A's framework focuses on the areas where AI is having an impact, while these other models might focus on the capabilities of the technology or the ethical principles that should guide its development.
Exactly. And the report makes a good point. It argues that combining these different frameworks can actually lead to a more comprehensive approach to AI strategy.
How so?
Well, for example, you could use the 3As to identify those high-impact areas where AI can make a real difference, then use capability models to figure out how to deploy AI systems in those areas. And then, of course, you'd use ethical frameworks to make sure that you're doing it all in a responsible and beneficial way.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's like using a toolbox to approach AI from different angles.
Yeah, that's a good way to think about it. But even with the best tools and frameworks, there are still challenges when it comes to implementing AI across all these industries.
Yeah, AI is a powerful tool. And like any powerful tool, it could be misused or even have unintended consequences, right?
You're right. And while the report does a great job of highlighting the incredible potential of AI, it also acknowledges that we need to be realistic about those potential challenges.
Okay, so what are some of the things we need to be aware of?
Well, one of the biggest is the technical limitations of AI. We often hear about these amazing breakthroughs, but the truth is AI systems can still be unreliable, unpredictable. You know, they can make mistakes.
So even with all the hype, AI isn't perfect.
It's not. And it's important to remember that most AI systems are trained on massive data sets, which means they're only as good as the data they're given. If the data is biased or incomplete, the AI will reflect those biases and limitations.
That's a big concern, especially if we're talking about using AI in areas like healthcare or criminal justice. The stakes are really high there.
Absolutely. And it's not just about bias in the data. There's also the black box problem, which is the fact that we often don't know how AI systems arrive at their decisions.
Yeah, that lack of transparency can be a real issue. If a doctor can't explain why an AI system recommended a certain treatment, how can they be confident that it's the right decision for the patient?
Exactly. And then there's the whole issue of data privacy and security. AI systems collect and process vast amounts of data, which makes them prime targets for cyber attacks. If that data falls into the wrong hands, it could be used to manipulate people, steal their identities, all sorts of things.
So it's like that old saying, with great power comes great responsibility.
Exactly. We need to be very careful about how we use AI and make sure that it's not being used to violate people's privacy or security.
And then there's the impact on jobs, right? As AI becomes more sophisticated, it's going to automate a lot of the tasks that are currently done by humans. What happens to all those workers?
That's a big question, and it's one we need to be thinking about very carefully. We need to be proactive about preparing people for the future of work, investing in education and training programs that focus on the skills that will be needed in an AI-powered world.
So it's not just about fearing the robots. It's about adapting to the changing landscape and making sure that everyone benefits from AI's potential.
Exactly. And speaking of adapting, we also need to be thinking about the ethical and societal implications of AI. As AI systems become more powerful, more autonomous, we need to make sure that they're aligned with our values and goals as a society.
Because we don't want to create a world where the benefits of AI are only available to the privileged few, or a world where AI is used to reinforce existing inequalities.
Absolutely. We need to be very intentional about using AR to create a more just and equitable world.
So we have a lot to think about here. It's clear that AI is a powerful force for change, but we need to be thoughtful and proactive about how we harness that power.
I agree. And I think it's important to remember that the future of AI isn't predetermined. It's up to us to shape it in a way that benefits everyone.
We all have a role to play, not just the scientists and engineers, but everyone who will be impacted by AI in some way.
I think that's a good place to pause for now. In part two, we'll delve into some of the most exciting trends that are shaping the future of access, autonomy, and answers. We'll explore what's on the horizon and how these trends could impact our lives in the years to come.
I'm looking forward to it. But for now, I'm going to need a moment to process all of this. It's a lot to take in.
I know. It's a rapidly evolving landscape, but the more we understand about AI, the better equipped we'll be to navigate this new world.
All right, we'll see you in part two. Okay, I'm back. Part one definitely got me thinking about the sheer scale of AI's impact, and honestly, a little overwhelmed. But let's keep going. Where are these trends headed? What's next for access, autonomy, and answers?
Well, when we look at access, the trend is pretty clear. We're moving toward a future where AI is more ubiquitous, more personalized, and importantly, more affordable. It's not just about giving people access to AI, but using AI to give people access to everything.
So AI becoming less of a specialized tool and more like, I don't know, a utility, something that's just woven into the fabric of our lives.
I like that analogy. Think about it. more people are getting internet access every day, especially in developing countries, through mobile devices. And as that happens, developers are optimizing AI for those low bandwidth environments. So even in places with limited infrastructure, AI can still have a huge impact.
I can see that. Like an AI tutor texting with a student in a rural village, or an AI health advisor giving guidance through a messaging app, bringing the power of AI to people who might never have had those resources before.
Exactly. And language is becoming less of a barrier, too. AI translation keeps getting better, with some models supporting hundreds of languages already. It's not hard to imagine a future where an AI can understand and speak virtually any language, breaking down communication barriers and making information truly accessible to everyone.
Wow, it's like that universal translator from Star Trek, becoming a reality. But even with the software and the connectivity, you still need the hardware, right? People need devices that can actually run these AI applications. And that's got to be a hurdle, especially in some parts of the world.
It is a challenge, but the good news is that AI hardware is becoming more affordable and more energy efficient. We're seeing a lot of progress with specialized AI chips and the rise of edge computing, which means that even those lower cost devices can handle some pretty sophisticated AI processing.
So even a, say, basic smartphone in 2030 could have some serious AI capabilities built right in, working offline or with limited bandwidth. That could be a game changer in terms of global access.
Absolutely. AI could become as commonplace as having GPS or internet access on your phone. But it's not just about having access to the AI itself, right? It's about using AI to access all sorts of other resources and opportunities, whether it's education, healthcare, financial services, even just basic information. AI has the potential to empower individuals and communities in really profound ways.
And that's where we see those big societal shifts that we were talking about earlier. AI could help bridge the gap between the haves and have-nots, create a more equitable world. At least that's the hope.
It's a powerful tool for social good, but like any tool, it depends on how we use it. Now, moving on to autonomy, which is where things start to get really interesting, maybe even a little unnerving for some people.
Yeah, because now we're talking about machines making decisions, acting on their own. I think it's easy to jump to those Hollywood scenarios, you know, robots taking over the world.
Right. But it's important to remember that autonomy in AI is not about some sudden robot uprising. It's a spectrum. It's about machines becoming more capable of operating without constant human supervision, which can actually free us up to focus on those tasks that require human intelligence and creativity.
Okay, so maybe not robot overlords just yet, but self-driving cars are becoming a reality. Are we all going to be riding around in robo-taxis in, like, 10 years?
It's certainly possible, maybe not everywhere by 2030, but I think it's highly likely that we'll see self-driving cars operating in many cities, at least for certain things, like ride-sharing services, public transportation, maybe even package deliveries.
So I open up my ride-sharing app, and a car with no driver shows up to pick me up. It's like something out of a sci-fi movie. But what happens to all the human drivers? What about their jobs?
That's a crucial question, and one that we need to be addressing now. As AI starts to automate certain tasks, we need to be thinking about how we can reskill those workers and create new opportunity for them. It's not just about the technological progress. It's about making sure that progress benefits everyone.
It's about making sure that humans and AI can coexist, that we can create a future where everyone has a place.
Exactly. And it's not just self-driving cars. Either robots in general are getting more sophisticated, more adaptable. We're already seeing them in factories, but increasingly they're showing up in healthcare, agriculture, even things like package delivery.
So robot nurses, robot farmers, robot delivery drivers. It's a whole new world.
It is. And as AI continues to improve, especially in areas like computer vision and robotics, we'll likely see robots taking on even more tasks that were once considered exclusive to humans.
Wow, that raises a lot of questions about the future of work. What skills will people need in a world where robots can do so much?
That's something we'll definitely explore further. But for now, let's shift to AI making decisions. Think about AI managing investments, analyze their market trends, even negotiating contracts.
So AI taking on roles that used to require human judgment and expertise, that seems a little unsettling, to be honest.
It can be, and it's important to remember that we need to be very careful about how we design and deploy these systems. We need to think about things like bias, transparency, and accountability, making sure that AI is used in a way that's fair and ethical.
So it's not just about the technology itself, it's about how we use it.
Exactly. And as AI becomes more powerful, more autonomous, the need for clear regulations and ethical guidelines becomes even more important.
We're essentially writing the rule book for a whole new world, one where AI plays a much bigger role than it does today.
We are, and it's a rule book that we need to get right, considering both the potential benefits and the potential risks of this technology. Okay, so we've talked about access and autonomy. Let's move on to answers.
The idea of AI as a source of information, a way to get answers to our questions, that seems like the most familiar aspect of AI already. What's changing in that area?
Well, the way we access information is changing rapidly thanks to AI. We're moving toward a world where information is more readily available, more personalized, more seamlessly integrated into our everyday lives.
So our AI assistants becoming even more ubiquitous, not just on our phones, but in our homes, our cars, our workplaces, everywhere.
Exactly. And those AI assistants are going to get a lot smarter thanks to advancements in natural language processing and machine learning. They'll be able to understand more complex questions, provide more context, even help us analyze information and solve problems.
So less like those basic chatbots we have today, and more like, I don't know, research assistants or even collaborators.
That's the idea. As AI gets better at understanding us, it can become more helpful, more personalized, more proactive.
Proactive. Like my AI anticipates what I need before I even ask.
Imagine your AI alerting you to a potential problem at work before it blows up, or suggesting a new learning activity based on something you mentioned in passing. It's about AI becoming more integrated with our lives, helping us stay ahead of the curve.
Okay, but what about those concerns that we hear about all the time, about becoming people-reliant on AI, losing our ability to think for ourselves?
Those are valid concerns. It's important that we use AI to enhance our capabilities, not replace them. We still need to be able to think critically, to be discerning about the information we're given, to make our own judgments. AI should be a tool that empowers us, not something that makes us dependent.
So it's like having a calculator doesn't mean you forget how to do math. It's about using the tool wisely.
Right. And as AI becomes more integrated into our lives, we need to be mindful of the potential impact on our own cognitive skills. We don't want to outsource our thinking to machines.
So finding that balance is going to be key. Embracing the potential of AI while also staying engaged, staying critical. Wow, this is all so fascinating, but I have to admit, it's also a lot to take in.
I understand. It is a lot to process, but the more we understand about AI, the better equipped we'll be to navigate this rapidly changing landscape. And remember, the future of AI is not set in stone. It's a story that we're all writing together.
Well, I'm definitely ready to hear more about that story. What's next? What other emerging technologies are shaping the future of AI? I guess that's for part three.
That's right, we'll dive into the world of 5G, edge computing, even brain-computer interfaces technologies that are converging with AI to create a future that's both exciting and challenging. Stay tuned.
Okay, we're back for the final part of our AI deep dive. Parts one and two were pretty intense, you know, seeing just how much AI is already changing the world and where things are headed. It's both exciting and kind of daunting, to be honest. But now I'm really curious about the technology that's driving all of this. What are those emerging technologies that are going to shape the future of AI?
Well, this is where things get really exciting. AI isn't developing in a vacuum, you know, it's being shaped and amplified by this whole ecosystem of other cutting-edge technologies. It's like they all work together, you know, kind of like a technological symphony, I guess you could say, where all these different instruments come together to create something much bigger and more impactful than any one of them could alone.
Okay, I like that analogy. So first up, 5G and 6G networks, everyone's talking about faster download speeds. But how does that specifically impact AI? What's the big deal?
Well, it's about more than just speed, although speed is definitely important. 5G and 6G also offer incredibly high bandwidth and low latency, which means super fast data transfer with almost no delay. That's crucial for a lot of AI applications, especially those that involve autonomous systems, like robots or self-driving cars.
Okay, I see. So like self-driving cars need to be able to communicate with each other instantly to avoid accidents, and that requires a super fast and responsive network.
Exactly. And it's not just about cars. Think about robots working together in a factory, or drones coordinating a delivery. They all need to be able to share information and make decisions in real time.
Okay, so it's like giving these AI systems lightning-fast reflexes, which allows them to react and adapt to changing conditions almost instantly.
Exactly. And as 5G networks continue to roll out, they're also bringing high-speed internet access to even more remote parts of the world, which means more people will have access to those AI-powered services like education and healthcare.
Right, so it's not just about the technology itself, it's about using that technology to create a more connected and inclusive world.
Absolutely. And looking ahead to 6G, which is expected to start rolling out later this decade, we're talking about even faster speeds and more mind-blowing capabilities.
What kind of capabilities are we talking about?
Well, for one thing, 6G networks might be able to actually sense the environment using high-frequency radio waves. Imagine AI systems that can see the world through the network itself.
Wow. Okay, now we're getting into some serious sci-fi territory. But what would that even be used for?
Well, it could revolutionize things like environmental monitoring and disaster response, or even enhance security systems by providing real-time awareness of what's happening in a given area. The possibilities are pretty incredible.
Okay, so 5G and 6G are basically setting the stage for an even more connected and intelligent future. What about edge computing? I've heard that term thrown around a lot, but I'm still not entirely sure I understand what it is or why it matters for AI.
Sure. So edge computing is all about bringing the processing power closer to the source of the data rather than relying solely on the cloud.
So instead of sending all that data to a giant data center somewhere, some of the processing happens locally on the device itself or maybe on a nearby server.
Exactly. And that has a few big advantages. First, it reduces latency, which means AI applications can respond much faster. This is essential for things like self-driving cars, where even a split-second delay could be dangerous.
Right. That makes sense. So faster response times? What else?
Well, it can also improve privacy and security because sensitive data doesn't have to be transmitted over the internet. You're essentially keeping that data closer to home, which reduces the risk of breaches or misuse.
Okay, so it's not just about speed, it's also about building more secure and privacy-conscious AI systems.
Exactly. And finally, edge computing allows AI to function even when there's no internet connection, so even in remote areas, or if the network goes down, those AI-powered devices can still operate effectively.
Okay, that makes them a lot more reliable. So what about FOB computing? How does that fit in? I think I read that it's related to edge computing.
It is. You can think of fog computing as sort of an intermediary between the edge and the cloud. It handles some of that data processing locally, but it can also send the most important insights or the results of that processing up to the cloud, which creates a more distributed and efficient system overall.
So it's like a network of mini brains all working together and sharing the workload, which makes the whole system faster and more responsive.
Exactly. And fog computing is especially well suited for things like smart cities, where you have massive amounts of data coming in from all sorts of sensors and devices. It's just a more efficient way to handle all of that information in real time.
Okay, so we've got faster networks, more distributed intelligence. What's next? You mentioned brain-computer interfaces earlier, right?
Oh, yeah, BCIs. That's a really fascinating and rapidly developing field, although it's still pretty early days. The basic idea is to create a direct link between the human brain and a computer.
Whoa. Okay, now we're definitely getting into sci-fi territory. Are we talking about, like, mind-reading devices? Is that even possible?
Well, mind-reading might be a bit of a stretch, at least for now. But the ability to control machines with our thoughts is definitely one potential application. Imagine someone with paralysis being able to control a prosthetic limb with their mind, or a surgeon being able to operate a robot with incredible precision, all just by thinking about it.
Okay, that's pretty amazing, but I can also see how that could be kind of scary, you know? What about the privacy implications? Could someone hack into your brain and steal your thoughts?
Those are legitimate concerns. And like with any powerful technology, we need to be very careful about how we develop and deploy BCIs. We need to think about the ethical implications, the potential for misuse, all of that.
Okay, so BCIs are definitely something to watch, both for the potential benefits and the potential risks. What about blockchain technology? I know it's mostly associated with cryptocurrencies, but how does that connect to AI?
Blockchain has a few really interesting potential applications when it comes to AI. For one thing, it can enhance security and transparency. Imagine these decentralized data marketplaces where people can securely share their data for AI training, but they still retain control over their own privacy.
So instead of having these giant companies hoarding all the data, individuals can choose to participate in the AI ecosystem on their own terms.
That's the idea. And because blockchain transactions are transparent and tamper-proof, it can help build trust in AI systems. People can see where the data is coming from, how it's being used, all of that.
So it's like creating an audit trail for AI, which makes it much more accountable.
Exactly. And blockchain could even be used to create decentralized AI networks, where the processing power and the decision-making are distributed across many different computers rather than being controlled by any one entity.
So it's about democratizing AI, making it more accessible and more equitable.
That's the goal. And then there's the Internet of Things, or IoT. As more and more devices get connected to the internet, everything from our homes to our cars to our cities, they generate incredible amounts of data. And all of that data is fuel for AI. It allows AI systems to become smarter, more responsive, more personalized.
So we're talking about smart homes that learn our preferences and adjust the temperature or the lighting automatically, smart factories that optimize production in real time, even smart cities that manage traffic flow and energy consumption to make everything run more smoothly.
Right. But of course, with all of those connected devices comes the potential for security risks. If someone hacks into your smart home, they could potentially control your lights, your thermostat, even your security system. So security has to be a top priority when we're talking about the IoT.
It seems like there's a common thread here. All of these emerging technologies have incredible potential, but there are also real risks that we need to be aware of.
You're right. And as with any powerful technology, we need to proceed with caution. It's not enough to ask, can we do this? We also need to ask, should we do this? And how can we do this in a way that benefits everyone?
So it's not just about the technology itself, it's about how we choose to use it.
Exactly. The future of AI is not predetermined. It's a future that we are all shaping through the choices we make today.
Well, that's a powerful thought to end on. This deep dive has been eye-opening, to say the least. I've learned so much about the potential of AI, but also about the challenges and the responsibilities that come with it.
I agree. It's a complex and rapidly evolving field, but I think the most important thing is to stay engaged, to keep learning, and to be part of the conversation about how we want to shape the future of AI.
That's a great message. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the world of AI. It's been a real adventure.
My pleasure. Until next time, stay curious. ACSC 8.